freaking go, my guy.
Here we freaking go.
Welcome.
OMG. What the hell is up, guys?
Oh my goodness gracious, Kyle. What the freak is up?
This is the PG-13 version of the podcast, meaning we get to say fuck once. And there it was.
Oh, no! Hi, welcome back to the Super Sapphic Film Club. I'm Haley.
I'm Claire.
This is a podcast where every other week we watch a different woman love woman or non-binary love woman film from the canon that we made up. If you want to check out what our canon is, you can look at our movie list. It's on our card along with our Instagram. And it's also where you'll find our links to Patreon, where you can support us if you feel so inclined. We have a bonus monthly episode over there where we talk about, I think we're going to talk about Six of Crows this month. Am I...
I would love to talk about Six of Crows.
Cool.
Yes.
Sick.
Let's do it.
Sick.
Also, but, we have two whole patrons, and they're not even both our moms.
It's only one of our moms. So thank you, lovely patrons, for keeping the lights on and helping us with hosting fees. We appreciate you so much. But if all you do is listen, we love that too. So
yeah.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you for being here. But today we're talking about Happiest Season.
Yuletide cheer, motherfuckers.
Hell yeah.
I hate this goddamn movie so much.
We're starting off so strong.
Listen, in my defense, I tried to go into this movie with like being like, you know what? I'm going to meet it where it's at. I'm not going to be a hater. There is no fun in being a hater. Like,
just... I have so much fun being a hater, first of all. Speak for yourself.
It can be fun. But I tried to leave it at the door because the first time I watched this movie, it was so bad, or I didn't enjoy it so much. We tried to watch it together and I was like,
oh,
I can't do this. Like, we.
Oh, I forgot. You tapped out. Do you remember when we tapped out?
I think they had gotten to the parents' house. No, it was like at the country club dinner. I was like,
oh,
I can't do this.
Oh, actually, yeah, you're right. Yeah. We have to get the fuck out of here.
It's like, no more.
Yeah.
But so I have my grouchy pants on. It's been a long day.
Hell yeah.
And I'm going to acknowledge at the jump that I'm doing that media criticism thing that I fucking hate, where I feel like I'm taking this movie more seriously than it takes itself. I am aware of that. It's going to happen anyway.
Listen, awareness is the first step. And sometimes there's no other steps.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But hey, Claire, what's this movie about?
Oh my God, I would love to tell you. What happened in movie? First of all, thank you to Wikipedia for the summary of this movie. Not really. I edited from it, but it's hugely plagiarized from Wikipedia.
Thank you. Thank you, Wikipedia. Thank you, Wikipedia, editors. Fuck Wikipedia.
Yes. Fuck why do we...
I don't know. I'm just talking
I don't know. She's got her grouchy pants on and no one will be spared.
No one.
Except for the people who edit Wikipedia for a living for free. We love and respect you.
Yeah.
Abby and Harper have been dating for over a year when Harper invites her to spend the holidays with her family in her hometown. I am doing podcast voice.
Yeah, you are.
Don't like it.
It's cute.
Thank you.
Okay, Michael Hobbs.
And then what, Michael Hobbs? Speaking of, Michael Hobbs swept my top podcasts of the year this year on Spotify. It was good.
That's good for
him. I love you, Michael Hobbs. Abby hasn't been a big fan of the holidays since her parents died, but she has been wanting to propose to Harper and decides this is the perfect opportunity to meet Harper's parents and then propose to her on Christmas Day. On the drive over to her parents' house, Harper reveals that she never came out to her parents because she was worried it would endanger her father's mayoral campaign, and asks Abby to just pretend to be her straight roommate until after Christmas.
Jesus.
Can you imagine? Abby reluctantly agrees. Harper's family attempts to welcome Abby, but mostly fail at this, referring to her as Harper's orphan friend who has nowhere else to go for Christmas, and putting her in situations where she has to meet two of Harper's exes, Connor, a man, and Riley, a woman, played by Aubrey Plaza.
Me, if I ever saw Aubrey Plaza in real life.
Yeah, Aubrey Papa.
Immediately go like nonverbal.
Yeah. I would fumble the bag so horrendously. Yeah. I would never recover. Abby gets more and more frustrated by the family's treatment of her and Harper's unwillingness to defend her, until eventually Abby's friend John comes by to rescue her. Harper begs her to stay, and Abby agrees. The two are about to kiss until Harper's sister Sloane stumbles upon them and then outs Harper to her entire extended family.
Harper, let's go! Sorry.
Let's fucking go! Harper denies everything, which causes Abby to leave. John follows her out, and she confesses to him that she thinks she loves Harper more than Harper loves her. John says that Harper not coming out has nothing to do with her feelings for Abby, and reminds her how scary coming out can be. Abby says that she wants to be with someone who is ready. Harper realizes that her fear of rejection made her hurt Riley and may make her lose Abby, and finally confesses that she is a lesbian to her parents and her family. Abby leaves with John anyway. Harper goes after her and apologizes and confesses that she truly loves her and wants to build a life with her. With encouragement from John, Abby forgives her and they share a kiss. In the end, Harper's parents accept her and Abby and Harper lived happily ever after and got engaged, et cetera, et cetera.
Incredible. Thank you, Wikipedia and Claire.
Yeah. Thank you, 95% Wikipedia and 5% Claire. Well, there you have it, folks.
Yeah. Tune in next week when we watch a better movie.
Exactly. I mean, really, it's inevitable. So I watched this movie with my mom probably the year it came out, which was 2020.
Which, that was 3 years ago? What the fuck?
Oh, my God. Huh? So rude and uncalled for, first of all. Horrifying, devastating. And I didn't give it another thought I wouldn't have thought about it ever again for the rest of my life.
But Claire, it's the first Christmas rom-com that's gay of this production qualifier. I don't fucking
know. It's what everyone said for some reason or acted like. Except that also everyone I saw online was pissed as fuck at this movie. Rightfully so. I agree with all of the critiques, honestly. Should we launch into it? Is there more backstory we should give? Should we just complain about this movie for an hour?
Yeah. I mean, like, I think I will restate that, like, I went in with a bad intention. I tried to drop it at the door, but, like, when this came out, I was like, I have no interest in this.
Yeah. And then... What turned you off initially? What was the thing that made you like, not this?
I think it was just, like, the marketing of it, honestly, which I, you know, wouldn't say is the movie's fault. We have learned from Jennifer's Body, Hallowed Be Thy Name, that, like, they have little control over that. But, like, they were just, I didn't have the words for it, but now I realized it's kind of like what I got from Love, Simon, of like, gay people can be normal. Isn't it such a big deal that we're making this normal movie about a gay person?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, cool guy. Okay.
Sort of bad vibes.
Thanks.
Oh, I almost forgot to say, it says in the fucking Wikipedia that this is semi-autobiographical.
Yeah, so, but it's not. Like, it's,
oh, okay, great.
It's
huge relief, honestly.
Yeah.
I like Clea DuVall, and I'd like to continue liking her.
I mean, that's, okay, fuck, there's just, like, so much weird about this movie. No, that was a poor, like, reworking of, like, interview quotes where it's, like, she came out to her mom at Christmas. Like, that's pretty much
it. Oh, my God. Like, I mean, that doesn't count, you weirdos.
Yeah, because it's, like, but it was, like, also, like, so that was, like, her relation to Harper. But then, like, Abby, she felt, like, resonant with, too, because, like, she didn't have a traditional family, so she would spend Christmas with other people's families. But, no, not entirely autobiographical.
Thank God.
Yeah.
This movie's so weird.
Okay. Literally, what is the tone?
Yes.
Like, because it's trying so hard to, like, tell us that it's a comedy, but it's, like, the subject matter is way too heavy.
I will not quite defend. I will say that I feel there's a lot of rom-coms that have, like, heavy topics they don't handle well. So, like,
so
if anything...
True.
Continuing a long and storied tradition. agree the tone is bad, just like the tones of those ones are often bad.
Yeah. I mean, hey. I mean, like, I was looking up interviews to, like, try and figure out what they were going for. Because, like, when you think Christmas movie, I just, like, why is this a Christmas movie? You know? Like, I feel like there's, like, a lot of expectations I bring into, like, how light and fun a Christmas movie is going to be, that a coming out story of this, like, degree doesn't match.
That is fair. I do think anything that takes place at Christmas is like fair game in everyone's eyes to be a Christmas movie.
Die Hard, baby.
Exactly. Yeah. So true.
No, I get that. I just like,
yeah.
If for this to be marketed as like the queer Christmas movie or LGBTQ, you know, Christmas movie,
yeah,
it's like, why did it have to be about like how painful coming out and being in the closet is?
Yes. And now, exactly. Good point. And it's reminding me of what we hated a year ago back when we made this podcast. Is every fucking gay movie is about like the drama of coming out or not coming out.
Yes.
It's like they actually cannot think of another plot point.
Yes.
Or it's like
big budget like, well, ones at least.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, plenty of smaller indie, you know, queer movies. But the biggest budget ones are like, well, the drama of coming out is something you can only do if they're gay, and we're only going to make this one gay movie this one time. So we have to make the drama coming out.
Right? I swear. Like that artist thing where they're like, or okay, I heard this a lot in theater circles in New York where it's like, it's always best to make the strongest choice. And the strongest, most dramatic choice would be about coming out going really badly. So I can see how that logic would apply. But also, shut the fuck up.
I know, right? Oh, God. Also, this is really the crux of my point about this movie. Hmm. So we're getting there right now. And I'm like, the cat's out of the bag.
No, that's great.
And then
great.
The rest of this will just be a downfall.
I have a million nitpicks. So it's good that we're getting to the meat first.
Okay, great. I think the meat of this is that the movie thinks that Harper is an asshole because she didn't come out to her family. But really, Harper is an asshole because she's a fucking asshole for completely unrelated to coming out reasons. The fact that she didn't tell her girlfriend that she had not come out to her parents while they were driving to her parents' house.
Oh my God.
Like, basically tricked her into going and forcing her back into the closet.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's, like, unconscionable.
Where is Abby's purple heart?
It's a bad person thing to do. Yeah, exactly. And so everything else that happens after that is, like, irrelevant in my eyes. Like, yeah. No matter what, that was a bad thing to do. And it's not because of coming out. It's because you, like, tricked your girlfriend into something she was deeply uncomfortable with and didn't give her an out until there was basically no out.
See, and that's what I mean. It's like, I feel like I'm taking the emotional, like, reality of this movie more seriously than the movie is.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I hate that the resolution is just that Abby needed to remember that coming out is hard. And, like, she had it pretty easy when it came to coming out. And Harper doesn't know that. And, like, I liked that she decided to, like, walk away because she's like, well, I need someone who is ready. And like,
yeah.
I respect where Harper is in her journey, but I need something else. But then like, they just get back together because Harper said that she wanted to really bad.
I know, that's the thing. It's like, are you supposed to be happy that Harper had the courage, TM, to come out to her family? Are you supposed to be happy that Abby was understanding? I am not quite sure, but it seems like probably both.
See, so I was in a really similar camp. I still agree with you about like why Harper is an asshole. But it's like, I don't know what this movie is trying to say. And like, I was reading an interview where it's like Clea DuVall is talking about how much she loves Harper. And like, she just has so much empathy for this character. She spent a long time writing her. And like, I totally get that. And I think this is a really interesting case of like, the person you had in your head while writing isn't being portrayed or conveyed to the audience the way that you expected.
Yeah.
Because she brought up about how, like, Harper thinks that she's ready, and then by the time she's there, she just, like, in her parents' house, she just keeps regressing to the person that she was when she lived there as a teenager. And it's, like, you kind of see that. But, like, again, it's, like, weirdly placed, where it's like she'll go out drinking with Connor and you're like, well, is she gonna cheat on Abby with Connor? She stays out super late, and then the next morning she's like, didn't text Abby back when they got back to the house, and Abby's like, are you good? Like, you never responded. And Harper's like, God, like, I just need some space. Like, you're just like suffocating me. And it's like, this is on day three of forcing your girlfriend into the closet.
Yeah.
And pretending like you aren't in a relationship with her when she's about to propose to you. Like, what? What are you suffocating? What
is happening?
But she's regressing. And then like later in the interview, Clea DeVall was like talking about how, you know, there she was reacting to people's like polarizing, you know, opinions on Harper of like Riley and Abby should have gotten together. Like Abby and Harper shouldn't have gotten together.
That was by far the most popular take I saw by everyone.
And I agree.
And, you know, hard to argue.
And I thought it was strange or not. I just thought it was interesting that Clea DeVall was like, I'm coming to this from the perspective of someone. I should find the quote. I'm just so lazy.
I'm tired.
Yeah. Writing this movie from the perspective, this is Clea DeVall's reaction to the criticism about Abby should run off with Riley. Writing this movie from the perspective of a 43-year-old woman who has not always been my best self, it was a long, windy, messy road to get to the person that I am now. I'm very proud of the person I am now, but I haven't always been that person. It's understanding that sometimes you have to go low so you can figure out your way back up. And I understand the impulse is to just cut and run and be like, to hell with this. But I also really believe that people can get better, people can grow, and people can change.
Whatever.
And I think, yeah, I've spent 4 years with Harper. I feel like I understand her and I love her so much. And I think she's worth it. I want what's best for all the characters in the movie. And I think the message that you can mess up and that you can do the work and get better is really important. What work did Harper do?
Yeah, also, okay, I'm going to be real with you. I skimmed some more important scenes recently, mm-hmm. but I did not rewatch the entire movie. So it's possible.
So valid.
I have forgotten some of Harper's more shining moments. But in my memory, I remember no particularly nice or good or generous thing she did in the entirety of the movie to anyone at all, including her girlfriend.
The one thing I will give her is right after Sloane outs her in front of the party, there's a moment when it's like people are kind of shuffling out and Riley, like, I don't know how they start the interaction, but like she apologizes to Riley because she finally understands in that moment like how it must have felt for Riley to be outed by her publicly, which fucking.
Oh my God. Exactly.
And that's kind of it. And then she has that weird, like, incoherent. Okay, it's not incoherent. I'm getting mean.
It's what keeps you alive all over again.
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I'm so chilling.
Because it's like, that scene where she rushes to the gas station to meet Abby and John, which, like, John, can I just say, it feels like a fake name when it's applied to Dan Levy.
Yes, and I have an exact similar critique to this, which is really? There's no world where Kristen Stewart looks like that and is named Abby. Abby is not a name that fits Kristen Stewart's face. When I was writing up the synopsis, even while I was looking and referencing Wikipedia, I kept swapping their names on accident because I felt that the name Harper fits Kristen Stewart's face better.
You know, I see it.
You know?
And also just like Abby to me personally, from my own experience for no reason, Abby just feels like a more like conservative name than Harper.
Yes, exactly. Harper is like your cool like art teacher or something.
Yeah, but I also do think that like it is just kind of a waspy name too. Like they're both waspy names.
Yeah. It's true, yeah. For some reason, Abby to me though is just like the most normal woman in the world. Like mm-hmm. Abby is just the most normal person.
Yeah, it doesn't help that like one of my family friends who is younger than me is named Abby. So I'm like, that's just like a little girl name, like in my head forever.
Yeah, exactly. That is fair.
But when she meets her at the Loves, which by the way, love wins. Love wins at Loves.
Stop. I totally didn't notice that. That's so funny.
Yeah, it just like, it felt like the movie said it was time for them to get back together and like, I don't know. Harper didn't say anything that, like, felt like she was, like, acknowledging how hard it was for Abby. It was more of just, like, I'm going to live my truth and I want to be with you. You're my family. And it's like,
yeah.
Okay.
Sure. I know. Yeah, exactly. Like, there should have been a little bit of groveling.
Yeah.
If that was what was going to happen. Like, exactly like you said, like, barely any acknowledgement for what she just put her through, which was, like, definitely one of the worst holidays anyone has ever had.
Yeah.
And just being like, no, but I've realized I've come out now, and that was the one thing that was the problem and not how I'm an asshole in general. And now we can be together forever. And Abby's like, yeah, okay.
All right. I know. And like, what? Okay. I love Dan Levy. I'm so endeared to him. What the fuck is John? Who is that man?
Just like there to remind her that sometimes people are homophobic when you come out.
Like,
what?
And like, his whole characterization was so confusing to me. Like, I thought it was really funny. He's like, you're going to ask her dad for his blessing to marry.
That is funny.
Which, like, true. Like,
yeah. Honestly, excellent point.
You should ask the person you're, like, asking the blessing for before you ask the dad, or else that could be a fight. That could be a really big fight. It would be a fight for me, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I did tell my dad that if anyone ever asked him for my hand in marriage, he should say no, no matter who it is.
Yes, exactly.
That gets, it looks less likely every year, but we will ignore that.
Shut up. You're so wifeable.
Stop. Thank you. Promises, promises.
I'm fucking waiting.
Yeah. My ring finger is so bare.
Where's my shitty, tiny rectangle of engagement ring?
Yes, please. Oh, was it shitty and tiny? I forgot.
It was just like the dumbest little like rectangle. Like it just,
you know,
it was nothing.
Actually, it's inspiring because it shows that gay people can have bad taste too.
And we can.
And we can. Rarely, but you know, sometimes.
Yeah. But no, and then like his whole, like he was funny and like I appreciated like some of his scenes where he's like, I jumped down your throat. I'm sorry. Like I should have created a safe space. I thought that was cute. But in that same phone call, she gives like the most like SOS, like she tells him everything that's happening. It's like, well, she just forced me back into the closet and we're pretending to be roommates and everything's going terribly and her family thinks I shoplift. And he's like, God. She's like, what do I do? Like, what would you do? And he's like, I'm going to think about it. And he hangs up.
I'm like, bizarre to me.
Yeah. And then he shows up at the party. It's like, it's not like a pack your shit, I'll be there in 3 hours. He's just like, I'm going to think about it, and then shows up. Like, what?
Yeah.
Why?
Weird. Very weird. Here's the other thing, too. I love quitting things. You should just, if things are bad enough vibes, you should just leave.
Yes.
You don't even have to break up in that moment, even. No. It doesn't have to be the end of things if you don't want it to be, although it could be. You can just be like, I'm having a horrible time. This is not going well at all. This is not, like, bringing us closer or anything.
No.
I'm heading back to the house. Meet you there later.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It really is that simple. Like,
it is.
Abby is doing the fucking most.
Yes.
In terms of, like, sticking it out and still trying to make a good impression. And it's just, like...
I do have to say, Alison Brie rocks this movie.
Oh,
she is
God.
So good as Harper's... horrible older sister.
She's just the best.
She's such a rock star. God. I do also, I really did like though that when she outs everyone in front of the whole family, you can see her immediately regret it in her face. I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah, that was, she like really rocked that performance. Just like the whole, like.
It was good.
She also totally sold the like, they're not gift baskets. They are gift experiences in unique woven vessels.
Ooh, it's good.
She
can crush
it.
A lion. She really can.
Oh, yeah. So that's, okay. This is just like, I'm being so nitpicky and I'm sorry. But like the entirety of this movie does hang on us believing that Harper was so enraptured with the chintzy neighborhood Christmas decorations and her partner falling off a roof that she like forgot that her conservative family didn't know she was out and was like, you should come to Christmas with me. Like,
it doesn't hold up.
They weren't even drinking cocoa. I can't even say she was hopped up on sugar.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, give the woman an Irish coffee and maybe I'll believe it.
Exactly. And I loved the next morning where she's like, I've been thinking about it and I'd love to come. And she's like, are you sure? You don't have to.
Yeah. Like, that would be an amazing time to tell your girlfriend the situation. Give her the space to decide for herself if she wants to sign up for the weekend of hell.
Literally in the car. Like, just...
Yeah.
Oh my
in
God.
The car on the way over, please.
In the car.
Coming out is a neutral thing. You don't have to come out. You can if you want to.
Yeah.
Not telling your girlfriend this is a bad thing.
Like, that's the other thing is it's like there are so many times when it's just like... Abby is trying to be a good partner and, like, communicative and, like, all this stuff. And Harper's just, like, don't wanna or, like, doesn't think it's important. Or, like, there's just so much she just doesn't tell Abby, like, about like the chicken pox story that like she told Abby that story, but she didn't mention that she was there with her like boyfriend at the time.
Yeah.
And like, it's, I don't know. And then like never telling her about how she like, and like, I understand this. I'm not like saying like Harper's a bad character and she deserves like just nothing because she did these like weird omissions, but it's just like weird that it kept happening of like, she never brought up about how she like publicly outed and like shamed Riley. And like, that was something where I was like, that's too far, man. Where they were like,
yeah,
she like, they found the notes they were writing and she's like, yeah, she won't leave me alone. It's like,
oh, that's horrible.
On.
And that's the thing too, is like, I can't understand where Cleo Duval is coming from on the like, sometimes people make mistakes or are mean and then they can grow and change as people and be good people.
Yeah.
I think the problem is, I'm sure Cleo Duval had her moments like we all do where you were not as nice as you could have been.
Yeah.
But we only see the worst parts of Harper and one slightly redeemable moment where she apologizes for doing a serious wrong to someone like a decade ago.
You know?
That is not enough for us to go on to like her as a character.
No.
The rest of the movie, she's like snipping at people or blowing up at her girlfriend.
Yeah.
Or just like being so horrible with her sister. Like they clearly have a thing going on where they're like both at each other's throats. But like it's not fun to be around people who are doing that to each other.
No. Yeah.
So it's like, I get that people are redeemable and isn't that nice or whatever. This movie is only showing us mostly like the bad parts about her. So like obviously by the end of it everyone's like, just leave her.
leave.
What's the point?
It's only been a year.
Yeah.
Because that's the other, okay, so two things. I thought it was so funny that Dan Levy's character was like, it never works out when you don't meet their partner for over a year. Or it never works out with a partner if you haven't seen their met their parents after over a year. And I'm like, fucking says who? What?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What a weird rule.
But also the second thing is like, I hate that like she almost like in that interview puts the onus on the viewer for not being emotionally mature enough to accept Harper. And like she does acknowledge in a different interview or the same one, I can't remember. I'm sorry, I'm not citing anything. I'll put I'll put stuff in the show notes. But she acknowledges that it's hard to meet a character like at the beginning of their like five worst days. But I also think it's like a writing issue that if this movie, it's like this movie was too honest and not funny enough.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Sometimes they would just say things that I've heard before from like a mean mom or like a sniping, you know, family member. And it's like, it's not funny if it's just true. Like, they tried to take it to an extreme where it's so over the top. And it's like, I don't know, maybe my family's just that dysfunctional. Like, it wasn't a lot of like humor or I felt like real craft coming into like the absurdity of the situation or like how childish. It just felt like she was being, everyone was just being shitty to each other all the time. And we were supposed to laugh at it sometimes and we were supposed to not laugh at it sometimes.
And it's almost never actually that funny. Like, it seems like it would be really hard to write, like, a mom who's snipping at you, and it's not just, like, painful to hear.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, I can only think of one, and it's the Fleabag stepmom.
Yo.
She's funny as fuck and the worst person alive.
I want to kill her with a rock and also marry her.
Exactly. Olivia Colman, she does that to people.
She really does. I was going to say the mom in BoJack Horseman, too. I know you haven't watched that, but that's, like, a good... Because it's, like, they made it really funny. Like, one of her, like, phrases I think of all the time where it's, like, she would come and watch her son at, like, his, like, stupid sitcom TV show. And he's, like, well, would you think? How'd I do? And she's, like, well, it's no Ibsen, who's this, like, like, one of the most prolific, like, playwrights of all time.
You're right, Mom. It is no Ibsen. Yeah. I guess I'll kill myself.
Yeah. You know?
Like, we can't all be fucking Ibsen. Yeah, you're right. That is funny.
You know? Like, it can be. And it just wasn't. It just, like, all these people hated each other and was so mean to each other all the time. It's just, like, it's just making me sad.
Like, yeah. And then it's, like, isn't it crazy? Now her ex-boyfriend's here and it's so uncomfortable. It's like, you're right, it is uncomfortable. I feel uncomfortable.
My God. It's, yeah, that is what's happening, isn't it?
Spot on. Nothing gets by you.
Oh my God. Like, the whole character of Jane made me so fucking sad. Like, yeah. There was a point in my notes where it's like, I think I literally said, Jane is maybe triggering me, actually.
Jane is the youngest sister of Harper's family.
Yeah, and everyone fucking hates her.
Yeah.
They think she's so she's much like all the time.
Childish or something. Yeah. Or cringe.
And she's writing a fantasy book that's stupid.
Oh my God. And all she is exceedingly happy to see a group of very unpleasant people, which I find admirable.
Yeah. And she's always trying to be like affectionate or like happy to see them. And they're like, Jane, no. They literally talk to her like a dog. They're like, settle down. Jane, no.
It's like, yeah. It's bizarre. I did find it's like so many things can coexist. I liked Jane's character. I was mad. They all hated her for no goddamn reason. And her speech at the end was cringe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, at the end she has like a I like myself thing. And it's nice as an idea and cringe in execution.
Yeah.
But then she does like her book, The Shadow Dreamers, is a bestseller. So everyone else can fuck off, I guess.
Yeah, right?
I did like that.
It was really fun. Oh, yeah. And that's the other like thing that it's like I think this movie just takes everything a little too far and makes it just like more emotionally violent than it needs to be. Like when Harper uses the painting that Jane spent over 100 hours on.
Exactly.
And it doesn't make any fucking sense. Sloane's head when they're fighting. Like, why would she do that?
It's not even like what you would reach for as a weapon. Grab a lamp or something.
Kill her.
Or a book, I guess, if you're not homicidal. But, like, yeah. Exactly.
You know? It's like this giant unwieldy thing that she's like, I'm going to break it over her head.
It's not even going to hurt that bad, but it will break this forever.
Yeah.
Like, was she fucking blinded with rage?
I don't know, man. See, I'm just too young, and I've never, like, felt an emotion like that before, maybe.
I felt that, but I didn't break a painting over someone's head.
Yeah, I don't know. I just have like a million nitpicks. Go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry. I just like looked to my right and got genuinely triggered because there's my company that I work for's logo sponsored on my Firefox homepage.
You like visibly recoil.
I did. I was like, ugh.
No, God, it followed me home.
No, Christ. You know, they're not that bad. If you look them up, they're not that bad.
Yeah. I love working there.
I love working at company. I just, you know, this is my safe space. Firefox, don't do this to me. Stop it. Oh, God, it's still there.
No.
Fuck.
No.
Stop. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. The rehash of... Not the rehash. The, like, after everyone leaves the party, this is after Sloane outs Harper, and it's just the three girls and the parents in the house, and the dad is like, what the fuck is up? You guys never acted like this when you... Yo, dog, what was
Yo,
that?
Yo, dog, what the fuck is going Yo, on in my house?
Straight up, like, for real, or what are you on? Stop tripping, jeez.
Please.
So annoying. I'm very sorry. He's like, you guys never acted like this when you were teenagers. Like, what's going on? You got to think of, like, reputation is everything. And Harper has this dumb speech. Sorry. And
like, it comes out when Haley least expects it. No, I like it too.
I just, like, I don't know. I think I'm just, like, in, like, not the right space to, like, be particularly, like, receptive to, like, you haven't considered how hard it is to be privileged. Like, you just haven't
very
thought
fair.
About how hard it is to, like, grow up super wealthy and have to have, like, all these expectations about being a high achiever. Like, it's super fucking hard, actually.
God. It's like the argument boils down to, like, but I have more to lose than you do.
Yeah.
It's like, forgive me for not being sympathetic to that.
You know? It's like, fuck off, actually. And then, like, her being like, you know, you've always expected so much, and I felt like being gay didn't fit into that. Valid. That is so fucking valid. Super hecking valid-oo-woo.
Yeah. Long may ContraPoints reign.
Yeah. And like, that's the thing. It's like, I do want to like actually like say explicitly, like, if this is your lived experience, I do have so much sympathy for that. It's just fair, like, yes, it being presented as the answer to Harper's mistreatment of Abby throughout the whole film is what I push back against.
I am nodding so vigorously right now.
Because these are made up people. You could make up anything. And it like, yeah, it came down to this. And I just don't like it.
And that's the thing too. Is like, if you have, you know, Rich, you're in this identical scenario, mm-hmm, as to Harper, and you don't feel like safe to come out, or just you don't want to come out, or you're nervous, or you don't ever want to come out, whatever, man.
Yeah.
Live your absolute fucking best life.
Power to you.
Exactly. All I ask is that you don't trick your current partner into being in the closet over the holidays with your parents who suck so bad.
Suck so bad.
All holiday. It's like, just don't do that.
It's like, I don't know. It's just like, God. Yeah, exactly what you said. But yeah, and then like the whole, like the sisters making it like against the parents of like, and I'm getting divorced and I felt like I couldn't tell you because I was like, all that I'm good for is being a mom, sure. And then Jane being like, you guys are actually all fucking awful to me. I just want to be included.
Yeah. And like, fair point.
Yeah.
Fair
point. Go off, Jane.
Yeah.
And then the parents don't say anything. Like, nothing is said by the parents. And like, I can't remember if there's like a scene with the sisters that's kind of cute first. But the next we see the parents, the dad's in his like study, because he's like such a rich white guy. You have no idea.
You know how they all have studies.
Yeah. And then the mom comes in and she's like, I have always wanted to try karate. I know it is inelegant, but it's what I want. And I'm like,
is this fucking the scene from High School Musical where they all admit they want to do stuff?
Like, I want to make souffles.
Yeah. I play the cello.
Like, and that's what the other thing I didn't like appreciate about this movie is that it's like, it's, they're all good people. They're just insecure. And like, they're being terrible to each other because they're insecure and they're trying to be the best that they can be and like fit these expectations, unspoken expectations that they think other people are having of them. And like, whatever they do because of that is okay. Like, even the dad, when he like comes around to it, is like, I wanted to be mayor because I thought, you know, you'd be proud of me. And that's like why I was doing it. And like, cool.
Awesome.
What?
Sometimes people want to be mayor just because they're insecure. Is that the message of the movie?
Sick. And it's like,
women,
I don't know,
it just should feel free to do karate. Like, what?
Yeah.
Which movie, like, is this?
And like, she should, cool, but it's like,
yeah.
It just was handled so weirdly in terms of writing, yeah, that it's like, I know that they're not trying to equate queerness with a WASP woman wanting to do karate.
But it feels a little bit like they are.
You know, or it's like, yes, that. But also, like, are we also using wanting to do something that you feel like you can't as an entry point for, like, understanding your queer daughter? But then,
yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Was it supposed to be funnier? Like, did they think that karate was a silly, goofy way to, like, introduce that idea? Because it just, it didn't hit for me. It's
not funny. I'm sorry. It doesn't count as a joke. Old woman wants to do karate is not a joke. It's not a punchline.
No. It's like, she should do fucking karate then. I don't know what to tell you.
Go fucking do karate.
I literally wrote in my notes, I've always wanted to try karate. And then right after that, I said, I will never get these 2 hours back.
Exactly. There's so many lines in this movie that like give me that feeling to the point that I refuse to pay more 2 hours of my life to watch it for a third time. I'm sorry, I don't have it in me.
No, can't be done.
It's not happening.
Also, I think it's so funny that John is the weirdest friend in the whole world, part 7, because he was like right after the, because Abby's there for like the public outing. She's like gonna leave, and then Harper convinced her to stay, and then Sloan saw them kissing, and you already said this. So she's standing right there when like Harper's like, I'm not a lesbian, like she's lying. And then she like walks out the door and John follows her later with 2 big coats and he's like, do you want to go for a walk? I'm like, leave! Get in the car you drove here with and
go!
Go!
Exactly! I don't understand. What? You could even turn around later if you change your mind, but at least you would be somewhere that's not here.
Yeah. Like, give me a different plot contrivance for Harper to run after Abby later, but, like, what?
And that's the thing, too, is they do actually drive away, don't they? They're at a gas station?
Yes.
So yeah. Why do we even go for a walk? I don't. Just have them be in a car.
Just to kill time for Abby, for Harper to, like, actually come out to her parents, and then, like, it's,
yeah.
It's just so...
That's the other thing, too. This movie is two-thirds unbearable family time, mm-hmm. and one-third action at the very end. All of the plot points happen in the last, like, quarter of the movie.
Yeah.
You could easily sum this up, and I did, by just being like, in the first two paragraphs, here's the deal, and the last five paragraphs are about what happens in the last 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah. Which, like, also, granted, a little rom-com, like...
Yeah, yeah.
They're like,
we're but still, gonna... it would be nice if there were, like, fun things that happened in the middle somewhere.
And that's the thing, like, I felt like it was supposed to be, but it all just sucked so much that it... I mean, like, yeah, it sucked exactly. in terms of, like, what was happening to the characters, not, like, that it yeah. was actually bad. Yeah. But, like, the ice rink wasn't that fun. There were some funny moments where it's, like, I did really appreciate the one bit where Jane's like, oh, I didn't hit start on the timer to time their race. And the husband was like, oh, do not tell them that. Do not tell them that.
God, I mean, there you go. One funny joke. One funny Sorry. Joke. We but, are in such
I know.
Bad moods today.
I know. I
we both like worked our real people jobs
yeah.
all day.
Mm-hmm. I know this was the first day I started my second job. So like it's just
Christ. Christ.
It's But yeah, no, and then like the whole like why was the whole like mall scene of like the kids slipping the necklace in the bag
that
so that
dumb.
They thought she shoplifted and like she did it in front of like that campaign person.
Christ.
Which like also that interaction sucked because it's like it felt like Abby was so fucking nice and no one wanted to talk to her for like no reason when it's like that's just what homophobia looks like in like upper white like you know yeah. upper class white communities. It's just like
as if Kristen Stewart's face wasn't enough for you to know this. She has like bleached alt-white hair.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I think like darker eye makeup for the whole movie. So she's like, could be read as queer
yeah.
easily by random people.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. those cute little barrettes that people can wear in their hair that I've never been able to pull off.
Those are so cute.
God.
And they work.
God.
And then Aubrey Plaza is there looking like Aubrey fucking Plaza.
Dude, she's so hot, it's unreal.
Yeah, it's like, I'm sorry, if you were trying to make people root for your main couple character and Aubrey Plaza is right there and so is Kristen Stewart,
and
you're fighting
like
a losing battle.
A losing battle, especially when you make her like the like cool, funny, like, yeah, I've been through this too, buddy. Like, I'm
yeah,
here to
exactly.
like, make you feel like less of a fucking outsider.
Yes. We love like a jaded loner who
yeah.
was wronged.
Yeah.
And that's like what she is. It's perfect.
It's yeah. And like
and we're supposed to be like, no, she's fine, I guess.
Yeah, they shouldn't know. But Abby and Harper, they've been together for like almost a year.
Yeah. But the sunk cost fallacy.
But she was gonna propose.
Oh no.
Like also, can we talk about how like to me, the thing that felt like the only genuinely queer moment in this film is when they're at the country club and – or not the country club. They're at that, like, Christmas party that was, like, campaign important adjacent. I don't know. And Abby steps outside and talks to John over the phone and is like, things are bad. I don't really – like, we're kind of – her parents don't know that we're together, not telling him the full truth. And then, like, Aubrey Plaza kind of, like, slinks around the corner after they hang up. And she's like, I wasn't trying to eavesdrop. I was out here first. So, but just wanted to say, like, I know how it feels. What'd she say? I wish I could do one thing right.
And you can all the time, and you do.
Oh, she's like, I didn't mean to eavesdrop, but I can relate. And Abby's like, to what? And Riley's like, nothing. You know what? I'm going to go back in. And I thought that was, like, well done of, like, hey, we can talk about this. And I was like, no. I'm doing what Harper asked me, and I'm not going to let the bag slip.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it made me sad, but I thought it was still well done.
That's true. It does feel like very real. It's like when you say something sort of coded and then the other person drops it and doesn't pick it up. Yeah. And you're like, okay,
never mind.
Goodbye.
No, I guess we're not ready for that conversation.
I guess not. Oh, we're pretending. Okay, great. Well, I'll be here if you need me.
Yeah, right. Your only other gay coworker, just waiting.
Just here we are. Exactly.
Whenever you are ready.
Yes. Someone, sorry, really quick.
Yeah, please.
This doesn't have to be in the podcast, but someone at work asked me how my weekend was, and I got tired of being like, it was fine. I did nothing, because I always do. I was honest, and I was like, I went on an okay second date, just an okay one, though. And he looked like I'd hit him with a car. He was, like, so surprised that I had confessed this, like, personal detail to him. And I think it's because people are like, I don't know why it's okay for people to be like, my wife and my kids and my this and my that. And then when I'm like, I went on an okay second date. Those were the only details I gave him. No other details. And he was like, visibly uncomfortable a little bit. I just thought that was weird.
That's so weird, actually.
I was like, okay, well, I'm dropping it, I guess.
Jesus, I didn't say that we got to third base, but it wasn't that great. Like, come on.
Yeah, exactly. I could have gone into detail.
That's so funny.
I know, right?
It is crazy. Bizarre. I think it's also, like, it's funny when it's, like, you can tell that, like, you said something that someone else, like, isn't comfortable with. And they're like, oh, I would have never said that, but I guess that's okay. Like, can we talk about that at work?
Yeah, right. I know. Exactly. Like, I could tell you if I had, like, a serious partner. Like, how long do we have to be dating before it's okay for me to mention them at work? I don't know.
Like, what are you?
Apparently more than 2 days.
It's like, it's gotta be 3 months before I bring you up. Like, what is this?
Yeah, exactly. I don't get it. I don't get the rules. I never learned them. No one ever told me.
No.
Bizarre. Anyway.
So funny. That was happiest season.
Oh my God. Thank you for joining us. I know it was a blast.
It was so fun. Have a wonderful... Are we going to talk to you? I don't think... We'll see you in the new year, I think.
Yes.
Think
this is our final... God.
Episode of 2023. We got a whole two in there.
Hell yeah, we did. On the anniversary, no less.
Yeah, but if you want to find different holiday lesbian films, check out our movie list.
Please do.
This is the only one of them I've watched aside from 8 Women. So we are 0 for 2 so far.
They have been bad so far. Exactly. But hopefully it will be a very sapphic new year.
And to all a queer
and
night.
And to all a good queer night. Merry Sapphic Mistall.
Yes.
Sorry, they're getting worse as it goes on.
No, I can't believe I didn't think about Sapphic Mist and like do another stupid.
That'd be funny. Series. Oh my God. Wouldn't it be funny if we did like a different stupid like logo and thing for every dumb holiday we can think of? It's like Arbor Day. And
Sapphic Arbor Day.
It's because it's the dumbest but still well-known holiday people know of.
Do you remember when we were in high school and we tried to make Arbor Day like a funny, goofy thing for our friend group?
Did we?
Yeah.
That sounds familiar,
like,
actually.
We should have an Arbor Day party and like all wear, I think we were like, we should wear onesies. Like it was the most 2012 thing ever.
Of course, of course. You know what? I wonder if I stole that from a book.
Really?
I feel like that really reminds me of something else in addition to it reminding me of that joke in 2012
Which
that we
John
had.
Green book did we rip that off from?
Good question.
Oh,
stay
brother.
Tuned to find out.
Yeah. In 2 weeks. I just need to stop
in
saying
two
next
weeks.
Week. Next time.
Dude, next time.
Next time. Well,
next
time. Thank you for listening this time.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us.
We'll see you next year.
Bye.
I can't keep that. Bye.